We continue from last time. Just repeat the phrase of Jesus. At that moment, I saw Jesus, who said, "I'm peace with what you are doing, and you can continue to be at peace if you always do the best you can in respect to this work of mercy. Be absolutely as frank as possible with your confessor. Satan gains nothing by tempting you, because you did not enter into conversation with him. Continue to act in this way. You give me great glory today by fighting so faithfully. Let it be confirmed and engraved on your heart that I am always with you, even if you don't feel my presence at a time of bad battle." Because the devil is tempting her not to talk to anybody and stop and keep by herself. But Jesus says, "No, tell the confessor." Today, the love of God is transporting me into another world. I'm all immersed in love. I love and I feel that I'm loved. With awful consciousness, I experience this. My soul is drowning in the Lord, realizing the great majesty of God and its own littleness. But through this knowledge of my happiness increase. This awareness is so vivid in the soul, so powerful, and at the same time, so sweet. Now that I have difficulty sleeping at night, because my suffering won't allow it, I visit all the churches and chapels, and if only for a brief moment, I make an act of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. When I return to my chapel, I then pray for certain priests who proclaim and glorify divine mercy. I also pray for the intention of the Holy Father and obtain mercy for sinners. Such are my nights. So, when she cannot sleep spiritually, so we see all the churches and chapels praying, and also praying for the priests. In a cell, not going out. At times when you can't sleep, even the pews can't help you. Don't worry, don't be afraid. We don't wait awaken. You can still pray. January 20th, 1938. I never cringe before anyone. I can't bear flattery, for humility is nothing but the truth. There is no cringing in true humility. Although I consider myself the least of the whole convent, on the other hand, I enjoy the honor of being the bride of Christ. Little matter that often I hear people say that I'm proud, for I know that human judgment does not concern the motives of our actions, because many times we share the interior inspiration from the Lord. So the other sisters of jealousy, she's mad, she's proud. When at the beginning of the religious life, following the novitiate, I began to exercise myself particularly in humility. The humiliations that God sent me were not enough for me. And so in my excessive zeal, I looked for more of them on my own. And I often represented myself to my superior other than I was in reality, and spoke of miseries of which I had no notion. But a short time later, Jesus gave me to know that humility is only the truth. Don't just, "Oh, I cannot." This is not humility. Jesus warned her, "Don't do that before the superior." "Oh, cannot do, I cannot do." "If you can, you say you have to do it." This is not humility. "You can." From that time on, I changed my ideas. Faithfully following the light of Jesus, I learned that if a soul is with Jesus, he will not permit it to err. So if you are not sure what we are doing, keep this unity with Jesus. Talk to him. Ask his advice. "Lord, you know that since my youth, I have always sought your will, and recognizing it, have always tried to carry it out. My heart has been accustomed to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to whom I'm faithful. In the midst of the greatest din, I have heard the voice of God. I always know what is going on in my interior. I'm striving for sanctity, because in this way I shall be useful to the church. I make constant efforts in practicing virtue. I try faithfully to follow Jesus, and I devoted this whole series of daily virtues, silent, hidden, almost imperceptible, but made with great love, in the treasure of God's church for the common benefit of the souls. I feel interiorly as if I were responsible for all souls. I know very well that I do not live for myself alone, but for the entire church. So you too. Of course, you are alone, but your heart is open to the whole world, to the whole church. In your prayer, don't just pray for some people in the Philippines, some people you know in Hong Kong, some of your friends. Pray for all friends, pray for all people of the Philippines, pray for all people of Hong Kong. Your heart must be big as Jesus. Don't believe to yourself. Oh, incomprehensible God, my heart dissolves in joy that you have allowed me to penetrate the mysteries of your mercy. Everything begins with your mercy and ends with your mercy. All grace flows from mercy, and the last hour abounds with mercy for us. Let no one doubt concerning the goodness of God. Even if a person's sins were as dark as night, God's mercy is stronger than our misery. One thing alone is necessary: that a sinner set ajar the door of his heart, be it ever so little, to be in the ray of God's merciful grace, and then God will do the rest. But poor is a soul who has shut the door on God's mercy, even at our last hour. So important. Try to open yourself always at this habit. If you close sometimes to the love of God, you can be sure at the last moment you can be open. So this is the habit. We say great, we say this virtue. Virtue is a practice. You know, practice is open, always open up to the grace of the Lord. It was just such souls who plunged Jesus into deadly sorrow in the Garden of Olives. So if a soul is closed by itself, there's more pain for Jesus. Jesus expects the openness of us. Don't say, oh, Jesus open, but you are closed. Doesn't happen. Indeed, it was from his most merciful heart that divine mercy flowed out. January 21st, 1938. Jesus, truly dreadful it would be to suffer if it were not for you. But it is you, Jesus, stretched out on the cross, who give me strength and are always close to the suffering soul. Creatures will abandon a person in his suffering, but you, O Lord, are faithful. Sometimes we forget anything when we are suffering. You don't want to see anybody. But Jesus, no. In his painful things, he opened his heart to all of us. That's the difference. When we pain, we close ourselves and meditate on our pain. We don't open to our people. It often happens when one is ill, as in the case of Job in the Old Testament, that as long as one can move about and work, everything is fine and dandy. But when God sends illness, somehow or other, there are fewer friends about. But yet, there are some. They still take interest in our suffering and all that. But if God sends a longer illness, even those faithful friends slowly begin to desert us. So, in Chinese proverb, we'll say, if you short, brief, sick in the hospital, many people come to see you. But you stay months or years in hospital, less and less. You think. Now, she experienced just a long period of suffering, Faustina. That's why she was criticized by all the sisters. Why don't you do this? Why can't you walk? Why can't you cool down? And why do you do? She can't. But I think her face is so bright and so full of spirit. Nobody can imagine she's suffering. That's a problem. Because when people suffering, she always has a gloomy face and expecting people consoled. And she didn't show anything. That's a problem. She's always so vivid and so lively. How can you imagine a person is so sick? Maybe you are so sick, but you are so smiling. How do I know that you are sick? You know, that's a problem. Of course, you are not sick. They visit us less frequently, and often the visits cause suffering. Instead of comforting us, they reproach us about certain things, which is an occasion of a good deal of suffering. Worse, because why don't you dare, why can't you dirt, and make more suffering? She's suffering already for months or years, and the people, the sisters, they have a good heart, but bad effect. And so the soul, like Job, is alone. But fortunately, it is not alone, because Jesus holds is with it. Jesus holds in the Blessed Sacrament. After having tasted the above sufferings and spent the whole night in bitterness, the next morning when the chaplain brought me communion, I had to control myself by sheer efforts of will to keep from crying out at the top of my voice, "Welcome, my true and only friend." Holy Communion gives me strength to suffer and fight. So don't forget, keep communion. I wish to speak of one more thing that I have experienced. When God gives neither death nor health, and when this lasts for many years, people become accustomed to this and consider the person as not being you see. For years, she is like this. So look, everybody consider herself normal. But she's not normal. No? Then, there begins a whole series of sudden suffering. Only God knows how many sacrifices soul makes. Well, some misunderstanding by people, you know, the same thing. But not necessarily sickness. They consider you do this thing, you talk this thing, you never talk. And they say, you are the one. What can you do? One evening, when I was feeling so bad that I wondered how I could get back to my cell, I came across Sister Serafina, who was asking one of the sisters of the first choir to go to the gate with a certain message. But when she saw me, she said to her, "No, sister, you need not to go, but Sister Faustina will, because it is raining heavily, my goodness. Raining heavily, our sister to go out to the gate." Goodness. Serafina, my goodness. I answered, "All right," and went and carried out the order. Only God knows the hold of it. This is just one example among many. Sometimes it would seem that a sister of the second choir is made of stone, but she also is human and has a heart and feelings. So she has understanding. At such times, God Himself comes to our rescue, for otherwise the soul would not be able to bear these crosses of which I haven't even begun to write, nor do I intend to do so. But when I feel the inspiration to do so, I will write about them. So I think she writes all these things with much effort. As a sick person, you don't want to write, you don't do anything. You just want to sleep and dream. But she has to write. Painful. Now today, during Mass, I saw the Lord Jesus in the midst of his sufferings. And though dying on the cross, he said to me, "My daughter, meditate frequently on the sufferings which I've undergone for your sake, and then nothing of what you suffered for me will seem great to you. You please me most When you meditate on my sorrowful passion, join your little sufferings to my sorrowful passion, so that they may have infinite value before my majesty. Jesus said to me today, you often call me your master. This is pleasing to my heart. But do not forget, my disciple, that you are a disciple of a crucified master. Let that one word be enough for you. You know what is contained in the cross. So Jesus the master, you are disciple. If Jesus is the master of suffering, then you are the disciple of suffering. It's logic. If you say you're close to Jesus, you love Jesus, so with what heart you know? I have learned that the greatest power is hidden in patience. I see that patience always leads to victory, although not immediately. But the victory will become manifest after many years. Patience is linked to meekness. So at times we are impatient, anger. I don't do. Jesus, I asked you already for years. That's why you have to keep yourself calm and meek. I spent this whole night with Jesus in the dark dungeon. This was a night of adoration. The sisters were praying in the chapel, and I was united myself with them in spirit, because poor health prevents me from going to the chapel. But all night long, I could not fall asleep. So I spent the night in the dark prison with Jesus. Jesus gave me to know of the sufferings he experienced there. The world will learn about them on the day of judgment. My daughter, tell souls that I'm giving them my mercy as a defense. I myself am fighting for them and am bearing the just anger of my Father. So we don't know. Jesus is suffering for us. Say, my daughter, that the feast of my feasts has issued far from my very death for the consolation of the whole world. Jesus, my peace and my rights, I beg you to give light to that sister so that she may change in charity. Support us powerfully with your grace so that she too may attain perfection. So she's praying for those who persecute her. Lord, just ask Jesus to revenge for her, to pray for her. Today before Holy Communion, the Lord said to me, my daughter, today, talk openly to the superior about my mercy. Because of all the superiors, she has taken the greatest part in proclaiming my mercy. So not all her superiors is listening to her inspiration. Only one. And in fact, Mother Superior came this afternoon and we talked about this work of God. Mother told me that the image had not come out too well and were not selling very well. But she said, I have taken a good quantity myself and am distributing them wherever I can, and do the best I can to spread the work of mercy. When she had gone, the Lord gave me to know how pleasing this soul was to him. Today the Lord said to me, I have opened my heart as a living fountain of mercy. Let all souls draw life from it. Let them approach this sea of mercy with great trust. Sinners will attain justification, and the just will be confirmed in good. Whoever places his trust in my mercy will be filled with my divine peace at the hour of death. The Lord said to me, my daughter, do not tire of proclaiming my mercy. In this way, you will refresh this heart of mine, which burns with a flame of pity for sinners. Tell my priests that hardened sinners will repent on hearing the words when they speak about my unfathomable mercy, about the compassion I have for them in my heart. To priests who proclaim and extol mercy, I will give wondrous power. I will anoint the words and touch the heart of those to whom they will speak. So, thank Jesus. Now giving us priests, especially those who have the task of proclaiming the divine mercy. It's not our merit. Jesus, through our words, through the picture, is given all this grace. When we see it, when we hear it, the merciful Lord, the merciful word of the Lord, He's the one who touches our heart. We thank the Lord. We are useless human beings. We are all useless. But so we have to spread also, you too. Spread this good news through your deeds and at times words. But first of all, let Jesus be in you. Let you be the living tabernacle. Keep Jesus always in your heart, no matter where you go. Keep this night. If you can, Sister Faustina can't go to the chapel all the time. She keep united with the people praying in the chapel. Here in the chapel, we have every day also 2 hours, morning, afternoon, and evening. We have people praying for divine mercy at 3 o'clock, and evening prayer, the night prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. If you can, join us. As Sister Faustina, join with us in spirit. Although you are still working, but your mind, keep this unity as if you were with Jesus, as we were, we represent you before the Blessed Sacrament. So we are not alone. You are not alone. Okay? Have this spirit. United, one mind, one heart. We do something we can here. You do something in your place, but always one mind, one heart with Jesus.